Welcome to the September 22nd sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and the sermon is entitled, Standing in the Way, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
My prayer today as I come before you with a very familiar story is that we understand there's a lot that stands in our way. Yesterday I had the privilege to go to Blacksburg. One thing's in Blacksburg that you just go to Blacksburg for is the Hokies, okay? And that's what I was there for. But we went about middle of the day, and we were trying to get in our parking spot. I had a pass that told me what lot and what spot and where I needed to be. And so as I meandered about 11 o'clock trying to get to that spot, I quickly realized that you probably need to be in that spot earlier than 11 o'clock. Because there was lots of things standing in my way. Most of them, the two-legged variety, okay? But as I tried to make my way to that spot that had my number, I was weaving in and out of people and cars and rows and trying to get exactly where I needed to be so I could go watch the game. And when you realize you're in the middle of 60,000 people, there's a lot that stands in your way. But what happens when it's just you and God? What happens when it's just you and your friends? Is there something standing in your way still that is keeping you from going and doing and being and worshiping who you need to worship? And I'm going to submit to you in a very familiar story to you, there's a lot that stands in our way. But we can't let what stands in our way keep us from getting to who we need to worship, and that is Jesus. Even this morning, there's a lot that stood in our way to get to this point. And yet here we are. Some of us have to fan because it's hot. Some of us are still sweating, me, because you've been outside and running since 5 o'clock this morning. But guess what? Here we are. Before a holy God together. Now what shall we do once we get there? As we think of those words, standing in the way, I want you to think about those things that hinder you from true worship of a holy and deserving God. And so take your Bibles with me and go to the New Testament book of Mark, chapter number 2. As you can see, we are not finishing Ruth. We're going to postpone that sermon and do it at a later date, finish that study together. But as we consider that thought of standing in the way, there's so much that stands in our way of true worship of God. And today, through five people, God is going to show us some truths out of His Word that I think that are pertinent to every one of us. And so we open the book of Mark, chapter number 2 together. And I'm going to start with the first two verses as we read. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. I don't know about you, but when you read this verse from a pastor standpoint, it's something to preach when the house is full, right? When the house is full, when people are there and they are there to hear the word of the Lord, from a pastor standpoint, you've got to be careful. Because here's what it becomes about. It doesn't become about God anymore. It quickly becomes about you and your pride and what people are really there for. Here's the reality. None of you are here because I am here. And I know that. But you are here because you want to hear from God, correct? And here is the reality in this day in which the scripture opens. The word has spread that Jesus is in town. And Jesus is in this house. And so I want you to know that things change when Jesus is in the house. Point number one is this: Jesus is in the house. And what you need to be, what you need to realize, wherever you go to worship or wherever you go to serve, Jesus needs to be there. You need to make sure that Jesus is the reason that you are going there. And so if you don't go for the right reasons, you will not receive the blessings of God. Some people say we go to Clifford Baptist Church because there's a lot to offer the children, and praise be to God. Don't let that be the reason you come. Just so my kids can be taken care of. No, Jesus wants to take care of you too. And so you've got to be fed. But as Jesus is in the house, he is in a particular house of Peter's mother-in-law, in whom we, Peter's house, because his mother-in-law was there. And she was healed in this location, many believe that that's where we pick up Jesus. But I want you to see that many flock to this location. They flock to the presence of the house, and they flock to Jesus, partially because they know the miracles that he has done. But they also know that Jesus is there for one reason. And listen to me. If there is any reason that you come in the presence of God, it should be to receive the truth of the word. Jesus was not there but to do but one thing. Look in verse number 2. It says, "And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." Underline those words, mark those words, highlight that phrase. This is why you should come to the house of God. This is why you should come to church, is to receive the truth through the word of God. Jesus was there to preach the truth to the people. He wasn't worried about who was there. He wasn't worried about the background of the people of the city he just entered. He was there to simply preach the truth. And I want you to know, I would love for this church to be filled every Sunday and every Wednesday. But here's the reality. I can't change my message to tickle the ears of the people who are going to come. You've got to preach the word of God and let the word of God and God the Holy Spirit do the work. And so Jesus, as he entered this town, it was not a campaign. It was not to do anything else other than to teach the word of God. And then we see the house is full. Now, I don't know what your house looks like, and our houses of our day look very different than the house in Jesus' day, but the houses of Jesus' day could be one room, it could be four rooms, but usually a flat roof, and a staircase would lead up to that roof. And here's the reality of this smaller house than what we have in our mind. It was packed full. People were standing around. They were trying to hear what Jesus had to say. So as we are introduced in these first two verses, we are told, number one, Jesus is in the house. Number two, people know that he is there and they come. And number three, he is there to preach the truth to them. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, you should get up and you should come to church and have those principles in your mind. I'm going to meet Jesus because Jesus is there. Right? I'm going to be there with other people that want to hear the same thing. And the third thing is this, that the truth of God's word will be preached and spoken. Jesus is in a house, and it makes a difference when he is there. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Point number two is this: many were physically in the way. Many were physically in the way. In verse number 2, we're told that there is no room to receive any more people. The house is full. The doorways are crowded. And in try to march 4 people with a paralyzed friend. They try to make their way to Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but maybe you've been in a situation where you've been waiting in line, and in walks somebody else trying to get closer than where you are. Amen? Okay, you can relate. I just want to make sure we're all the same. We don't like that, do we? Even though we're Christian people, we don't like that. We think, hey, we deserve our spot here. And then here comes four people carrying one. So 5 people trying to press in to make their way to Jesus. There was a physical barrier there. This morning, maybe if you'd have got up and you'd have walked in and you said, no, that church is full. I'm not going there. You get back in your car and you leave. That's an option. Leaving is an option. But I want you to see today, leaving's not the best option. When something physical stands in your way, sometimes you're not regulated to do the easy thing. You've got to think outside of the box. And so, as no one steps aside, no one gives their seat, what do these 4 friends do? As they make their way and they devise a plan to get their friend to Jesus, they go up on the roof, they pull back the material of clay and sticks and tile, and they bring their friend down to Jesus. These were not men who were breaking in line, or these were not men who were cutting corners. These were men who knew they needed to get their friend to Jesus, because Jesus could solve his problem. What do we do to go out of our way to make sure that our friends know the Jesus that we know? What are we willing to do? Many people look at these people and they say, oh, they destroyed the man's roof. They destroyed the roof of the house. No, they did not destroy the roof of the house. They gained access to the Savior. And so what are we willing to do to gain the access to the truth that we need? Now, I'm not asking you to climb up on the roof of this building and chop a hole. And I'm not asking you to do that. That's not what God's asking us to do. But even this morning, with a little bit fanning and a little bit warmer and a little bit of sweat, guess what? We're here. Physically, things have stood in our way even today. You've got to press past those. But what about your week? What about your family? What about your child's schedule? What about your work schedule? What about the busyness of life? And here's what happens. Good Christian people get wrapped up in all of that, and then we can't tell those who need Jesus how to get to Him. You see, the door wasn't the only way. They knew a different way. So today, as we gather, we think of the physical barriers that stand in our way of getting people to Jesus, the obstacles that could prevent us from getting to Jesus ourselves. But do we just press back and say, okay, let those things be? Or do we press on knowing that even though it is out of the ordinary, that by faith, God will honor those things? Who is the last friend that you knew that needed Jesus and you didn't take them there? I'm guilty. Here's the reality. Something will always stand in our way. If you're looking for a reason not to go or not to worship or not to tell or not to be embarrassed or not to be shamed, you will always find a reason. But on the other hand, there is always a reason to press on to Jesus. The physical barriers will stand in your way. And I want you to see four true friends that press on to take their palsy friend to Jesus. So, we've seen the obstacle of people, and we've seen the obstacle of the roof. What other obstacles stand in the way? Look at verses 5 through 8. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves and said to them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" So we can see the people. We can see the roof. But these friends press on. But how many of you know that sometimes the things that stand in your way of getting to Jesus are not always the physical things, the things that you can see? Point number three today is this: hard hearts were in the way. Hard hearts were in the way. There were more than people in the way. There was more than a roof. There were some hearts that were in the way. Look at verse number 6. It says, there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Do you see that? Look at verse number 8. Jesus asked, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" Jesus knows their hearts. And also Jesus knows there are more people than one that need Jesus. It's not the sick man that is the only one that needs Jesus. And Jesus sees this. And you know, and I'm not going to throw this at a bash at anyone, it was the people on the front row. The people that had a front row seat to see what he was doing and to hear what he was talking about. It was those Pharisees that were ready to judge. They had a front row seat to Jesus. They knew who he was. And Jesus knows in their hearts they are hard. The scribes reasoned. And Jesus simply asked, "Why are you doing this? Why are you reasoning?" As he sees the faith of the friends, here's what his word was: "Son, thy sins be forgiven." That is the first word that Jesus spoke. Now, what do you think should have happened? Here's what the Pharisees thought should have happened: that Jesus should have healed that man immediately. That's what they were looking for, because Jesus had done all these miracles. But the first thing that Jesus does is not heal the man. It is to forgive him. To forgive him of his sins. Look at me real quick, church. There are some unhidden things that stand in our way of getting to Jesus. And at the top of that list is sin. And the truth of God's word, as it calls it sin, we must call it sin. And we must recognize that before Jesus could do any miracle, there had to be some sins that needed to be taken care of. And the sins were forgiven on the faith of the friends. But as he is watching what is taking place, the roof being peeled back, the man being lowered down, he is sick. The only thing that Jesus recognizes is this: there are hard hearts in this room. Many times, as we come to worship, we may pose the question of, why do certain things happen, or why is this going on? And Jesus poses the question of why back to these scribes that are there. And he says, "Why reason ye these things in your heart?" Why do you even do this? And so for you and I today, we've got to be careful not to be caught up in the religion of who we are. And we must be careful that as we approach Jesus, we don't do it in the wrong spirit, in the wrong mind, with the wrong heart, or with sin in our lives. So we see Jesus is in the house. We see physical things stand in the way. And now we see there are some things that stand in the way, such as sin, the unseen things. There's one more point. Last verses, verses 9 through 12. And these are Jesus' words. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he has said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Point number four today is this. Simply put, Jesus is the way. Things stand in your way, but what we must realize is Jesus is the way. Which was the easiest thing for Jesus to do? Forgive the man's sins or to heal his paralyzed body? Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. That was his favorite name for himself. But in doing so, he identified himself as God in the human body. Form. And that is where these scribes and Pharisees get all bent out of shape as Jesus identifies and proclaims himself to be God. But in doing so, he says, what is the easiest thing to do? Forgive the sins or heal the man. Everybody wanted to see Jesus heal the man, but Jesus had to start first on the inside. And here's where I want to call you to today, church, and very simply is this. The healing that we all need is on the inside. We desire to see the outward miracle and the outward healing and the things that we want to see our prayers answered. But the greatest miracle in all the world is the forgiving of sins by God Almighty. A changed heart. And if you are able to witness that, you have witnessed the greatest miracle. We can be caught up in wanting the great physical miracles. I want my wife healed from cancer. I do. But praise God, she knows Jesus as her Savior, because I don't know what that battle would be without Jesus. Jesus is the way. What these Pharisees wanted is what Jesus ultimately did. The easy thing, as he said, arise, take up your bed, and go thy way. They were waiting for that miracle, and yes, Jesus provided that. But the first miracle was his forgiveness of sin. And I'm labeling that in this sermon the greatest of the two miracles. So how do I boil it all down today? If Jesus would have let that man get up out of that house and go and healed him on the outside and did not forgive him on the inside, he still would have been a lost man. And here's the reality. People leave the house of God every week feeling good on the outside, but dying on the inside. And so today, in a very pointed invitation, what is standing in your way? What is your issue? What is your question? What do you want from God? Do you want the outward or do you want what you really need, the inward forgiveness and washing of the heart? Don't let anything stand in your way. As we close this service today, in the house of God, there are people that have been cleansed on the inside, but there are also people that need that cleansing. And I don't care how big the congregation is, if it's 2 or if it's 2,000, people need Jesus. And Jesus is the way. Today, what's stopping you? What's standing in your way? Will you push through the doubt? Will you push through your own faults of people making fun of you and you losing friends? Will you push through those things and simply come today and say, Jesus, I trust you with all that I am, and will you perform the greatest miracle, and will you wash my heart clean? Will you forgive me of my sins and make me white as snow? Today, Jesus is that way. And if you don't know Him, here's your invitation to come today. For us that do know Him, may we take a lesson from these four friends and let nothing hinder us with the Jesus that we know and getting our friends to Him. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. And Lord, even in this moment of invitation right now, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work and move as only you can. God, I trust you and we surrender this time to you for your work and your work alone. Maybe today somebody will press through to meet you. God, I pray that you will lead that heart to do so today. Lord, maybe there's a Christian in this room that just says, I'm so uneasy, I'm nervous, I don't know what to say. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will make them the kind of friend that loves their friends enough to get them to Jesus. Lord, put those people on our minds, in our hearts, on our lives, in our lives. Lord, let us have those conversations, Lord, I pray. God, we thank you for the greatest miracle. It's not the outward miracle in which we can see. It is the inward washing and forgiveness that only you can do. And we surrender that to these moments now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.